Hey girl, you're listening to the For the Girl podcast, the podcast designed for you. Join Mac and Ken's as they cover all the hard topics for real life girls trying to love Jesus. Get ready for encouragement, truth, and let's be real, a little bit of a hot mess. Is it just me or are Mac and Ken's your new best friends? Let's get into the episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. We're excited to be on here, to be chatting with you, and it's going to be a great time. We have a lot to talk about. It's going to be a good episode. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
I can't wait.
So, yeah.
I can't believe it. So, these are, we're entering into some pre-recorded episodes, which is cool and fun. But yeah, by the time you guys are listening to this episode, I'm no longer pregnant.
Oh my gosh, you're going to have the child?
Yeah, right? Right?
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty exciting. So hopefully all is well. And we had a baby.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait for Mac to not be pregnant anymore and to be living the mom life with me.
Yes, we're back in the same season soon, Kens. Can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
weird because it was like same but different. We were just reflecting on her maternity leave that she's going to be taking. And I was like, yeah, can you like pre-record some content? I did that for you like when I was on maternity leave. And then I was like, well, I don't know that you used any of it, though. I don't even know that you were active on anything when I was on maternity leave. And then she was like, well, that was when I was dying of my toothache and my other first semester woes. And I was like, oh, yeah. So we really are like exchanging seasons.
Yeah.
When one man's down, the other man down.
We're both down. I hope you don't go down during my maternity leave. I hope
things
you stay
are looking
up.
Good. Things yeah. are looking good.
You're looking healthy over there. Well, I am excited about this new podcast series that we're doing. It's going to kind of coincide with our new Bible study that we released not too long ago called Face to Face. Kens and I have been in the trenches working on this thing.
Trenches.
Yeah.
Truly.
You guys have probably saw, like, because basically right when Kens got back from maternity is when we kind of started working on this book. And I was in my pregnancy. And it was winter.
Both
it was
man's cold. Down.
And we were just, like, powering through. Like, we got to finish this study. And what was really cool about this study, or what I say this about every Bible study we write, like, you cannot read scripture and you cannot study scripture without scripture really searching you and really like doing a number on your heart. And so as we study and as we write these studies, we're experiencing so much of what we're writing about. Like, God is teaching us on the fly in those moments. And I really felt that with this study, like as we were learning about these different facets of God's character and as we were researching them and studying them and writing about them, I felt like I was just coming face to face with understanding what that meant. And that meant a lot of searching of my heart and a lot of like struggle bus moments for me of like, wow, I'm not experiencing the fullness of God as Father or God as Lord or God as Creator or whatever it is. And there's so much more of his character that I want to taste and see and embrace and live into in my everyday life. And so, yes, we were in the trenches of like the writing pace and early mornings and like looking ratchet 24/7. But also, I feel like so fun to come out on the other side of this study and really feel more intimately close to God and understanding more of his character, which is what our hope and prayer is for you guys as you go through this study too.
Yes, I was proud of us in writing this one because, well, especially me, because I tend to do this thing like where I'm like, okay, we have to have, you know, you have to have deadlines. Like when you're in the middle of a writing project, you just have to have those so that it keeps you accountable. But I, like, worship that deadline. I, like, nothing will stop me from getting to that deadline. Whereas Mac, she's, like, way more flexible. She's not feeling it. She's not going to push through. And, like,
I love that, an extended deadline.
Yeah. She's, like, give me all the
extensions. Grace.
Which is just, like, there's people that are like that and people that aren't. Like, when I was a student in school, I was not a procrastinator. Like, I never procrastinated. I, like, always got my stuff done right in time. no doubt you procrastinated till the very last minute.
100% every time. Yes.
And you know what the annoying thing is that hers was probably 10 times better. She got the A when I got the D. So, you know,
there we are. Why is this God? Why, God, why?
But no, but I was proud of myself in this one because, like Max said, it was a lot to learn and like a lot of new revelations and just like, growth and stretching. Like when I was reading these scriptures and like learning new parts of God's character, I felt like for the first time ever, I let like time and space to process that. And so it kind of took us a lot longer to finish it, but it was only because we really let it shape us and gave it some more time to really wrestle with some things that maybe were harder to swallow and stuff like that. So I really am so excited for you guys to read it. I'm not even saying this lightly. I think I had one of my like biggest scripture revelations through writing this study. So
yeah, it's pretty
just
awesome.
A little snippet for the future.
Yeah. And I really think about when we sat down to kind of brainstorm and figure out what our next study was going to be, it was a crazy cool little God moment because Ken's like, she was like, hey, I've been brainstorming. You go brainstorm. I'll go brainstorm and we'll come back like with our ideas. And so she kind of, I think you only came back with one concept, which is unlike you. Normally you have multiple. And you're like, I think this would be it. And you literally had this list of like, knowing God as Savior, knowing God as a friend, like kind of this whole list of like different pieces of God's character. And you sent it to me and I sent you back a screenshot of notes in my phone that was literally like the exact same list. And I had the title Face to Face, I think, for it too. And I was like, no way. That is exactly what I felt like. What I felt like God had kind of put on my heart for our next study. And it was just this really cool thing where like, we both had this list of like six different chapter ideas and like four out of the six perfectly matched. And it was just this cool little thing of like, okay, God, this is the study that we know we're supposed to write. And so it was really fun. If you're like, what is this? What even is this Bible study you guys are talking about? This is, I don't know if you guys know this, but if you don't, you should know that we write Bible studies that help you know and understand and love God's word, help you to study it for yourself, and then also help you to really process it in community. So all of our Bible studies are 6 weeks long, and they really help you just dig into the word. So for Face to Face, what we wanted to do was create a study that really invited you to get to know God's character and to really know who he is, maybe for some of you for the first time, and then maybe for others of you, like we just need this reminder of who God is. And there's this famous quote that I've always loved from A.W. Tozer that says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really good question to wrestle with, like, what comes to your mind when you think about God? Maybe for some of you, like you're in such a good place with him right now. And like immediately you just feel instant love and gratitude. Like you're so overwhelmed by how he's shown up for you. For others of you, maybe when you think about God right now, it just brings like instant guilt or shame. Maybe because it's been a while since you've actually spent time with him or made him a priority, or you're just afraid of what he might think of you. Maybe for some of you, it just brings up instant confusion or anxiety. Maybe you're deconstructing your faith right now, or you're just processing through some really hard things. You're flooded with memories from your past hurts and rejection from maybe people who claim to know God. Maybe you're experiencing church hurt. I don't know what it is, but I do know is that the truth is that we all have kind of experiences from our own life that have almost kind of tainted or put filters over the truth and the fullness of who God actually is. It's things like our childhood pastor, our high school youth group, our grandma's theology, our token Christian friend, our 3 month stint at a local megachurch, or maybe it's our own kind of emotional experiences or encounters with God. And all these different pieces have come together to kind of create this jagged puzzle that we try to fit together about who God actually is. And I think it's really important for all of us to kind of assess and to like reflect, you know, what are the pieces of our puzzle? And the truth is that most of us, we know or we see or we experience God only through these other lenses that other people have provided us. But if we got really honest with ourselves, we've never truly gotten face to face with him. We've truly never gotten to know him, like really know him for ourselves. Just sat there in his presence, looking at him, staring at him, not wanting anything from him other than just simply to know who he is. And so the pages of this Bible study are almost an experience or an invitation to do just that, like to get more up close and personal with God than maybe you ever have before in your entire life. And we're going to do that through opening up our Bibles to like studying and to knowing who God is, what his word says about who he is, and then also this invitation in to experience and see for yourself exactly who he is. This Bible study is so much more than like reading scripture and like answering a couple questions. It's experiential. Like we want you to not just read about who God is. We want you to actually encounter and experience who God is for yourself. And so the way this study is broken up is we look at six pieces of his character. We talk about how he's your savior. He's the one who laid down everything to be in relationship with you. We talk about how he's your father, the one who looks at you with like deep love and affection in his eyes. He's your Lord, the one who is calling you to this life of joyful surrender and obedience. We talk about how he's your creator. He's the one who made you, and he loves how he uniquely and specifically made you. We talk about how he's your helper, the one who wants to walk with you as you navigate the challenges that life has to offer and to help you along the way. And then we talk about how he's your peace, the one who can bring calm and beauty to any anxiety or situation that's difficult that you might experience. And so this study, truly, I think out of any of our studies, like it is one that I promise you, like you cannot do it while holding God at arm's length. Like you can't just do it mentally. Like it's one where you, every day that you read it, you're going to be invited and pushed to kind of draw nearer to him. Like I said, to stare into his eyes, to notice every detail of his face, and to see for yourself who he really is. And so it's going to be an intimate journey. And if there's one thing I know about like intimacy is usually messy and not easy, but it's so beautiful and it's so, so, so worth it. And so I'm really, really excited about this study. So even if you don't do the study, which I think you should do the study, we'll link it in the show notes, forthegirl.com. What we're going to kind of be doing over the next few weeks on the podcast is really kind of trying to dive into each of these topics of God's character and talk about how can we experience and encounter him in this way? What does that look like for Kenz and I? And how do we want to invite you guys to experience and to know him, not just cerebrally, but to know him experientially this way as well?
Yes. So today we're going to talk about God as our savior, the first little chapter in the book. And we're going to get the opportunity to share like a little bit more of even our own testimonies, which I feel like we haven't shared much on the podcast. So that'll be fun. The moment where really God saved us and where we were at in life. So yeah, that I will never forget. There's this moment in scripture. It's in Exodus 14, I think, or 40, I don't know. Okay, Exodus, where?
I want to say it's Exodus 4:13. Why do I think that?
Okay, wait, Google while we're on this. But it's basically this moment where Moses, he meets with God, and scripture says that when he met with God, he met with him face to face as if he was a friend. And I was like, what? No way. I'm going to read that again. Oh my gosh. Moses like saw God like so close, or felt God so close that he felt like a friend. Like Moses, the Old Testament, like we're not even talking about Jesus. Like that's crazy. I was like, I want to experience God's presence in that same way. And that scripture we kind of were enamored by like years ago, and even still something that I think we are longing to experience. And so I'm so glad we're finally writing a Bible study about it, a Bible study about how to like increase your intimacy with God, and how really knowing him and knowing these different parts of our character will help us better like experience and get closer to him.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And this is, it was Exodus 33. I was so wrong. So sorry.
I said 4 and then 40. Yeah. I don't even know.
But we talked about, we love when our Bible studies are more than just, you know, more than just something you do by yourself, like on your own, just kind of with your personal relationship with Jesus, but when they become tools for you to use. And so we really believe this study in particular is going to be an incredible tool for community, because talking about experiencing all these different characteristics of God, I promise you, you will learn so much when you actually talk about other people's experiences, how they're actually encountering God in this way. And it's so powerful and it's so cool. So like, if you choose to do this study, do not do it on your own. Like, you could, and it'd be great, and I believe God would show up. But how cool would it be to like text a couple girlfriends and to do this with them and to just say like, hey, let's actually experience and encounter God face to face together this summer over the next couple of months. Like, let's not do this alone. Like, I want to do this with community. So that's one way you can use it. And then a second way I would say you could use it, if you have this like desire to step into discipleship, to step into like really walking with someone who's newer in their faith into knowing who God is, this is a great tool to use as well. A great tool that you can, you know, sit down over coffee with somebody, sit down in your living room with somebody and just say like, hey, this is how I have experienced God in this way. You know, you're early in your faith walk, but like, what would it look like for you to experience God as Father, God as peace, God as Savior? Like, what could that look like? And it can just give them a really cool vision. I hang out with a bunch of high school girls, and it's definitely already on my mind that I will be using this study with them, because I just know that it's going to create some really cool and powerful conversations. Like I said, for them just to not know about who God is, but for them to actually begin starting to experience God in that way. And so,
yeah,
a little piece of encouragement that like it's a great tool for those things.
Yes, I'm so excited for that. One thing about Mac and I that you need to know is Mac is usually leaning towards like the discipleship thing. Like, she's like writes every Bible study for the girl that she's going to disciple, like who's gonna, you know, walk a day in, day out with the Lord. And I always write a Bible study for the girl I'm gonna like tell Jesus about. I lean more on like the more like evangelistic side. And so we always are like at odds being like, okay, well, no, it still has to make sense for this girl and it still has to make sense for this girl. And I feel like this one we've finally got a good in between, because I really do believe this is such a good study to like teach somebody who God is for the very first time. But then it's also such a great study to like deepen your understanding of who God is for the millionth time.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Cause like I said, we were, you know, we've both been believers for a decade plus, and we were shook to our core.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I legit have like the best scripture revelations throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. So
also side note, I've never finished a Bible study if I've done it on my own. I have to have a friend. I literally always quit. Wow.
That's an honest confession.
Yeah. Week 4, done. Yeah. I could be so close to the end, I give up.
So you're telling me the Bible study writer can't even finish Bible studies?
Legit. Yes, guys.
I love it.
But I will finish if I have an accountability partner, okay? Yeah. So, and which is what I need to do. And I usually do, honestly, whether that's a friend. Right now I'm doing a study with a friend because I don't have that many friends here in Florida because I just moved here. But I'm doing a study with a friend who lives in Nashville. And we're just doing over like our phones, you know, So you can do it wherever. Anyways, speaking of getting to know God for the first time, today we are going to talk about the very first chapter of Face to Face, and that is God as our Savior. And I say that, you know, speaking for anybody that is knowing God for the first time, because Savior is obviously like, I feel like it's the step one, you know, if you're going to sit across the table from a girl who is curious about God and curious about like giving her life to Jesus, you're of course going to tell them like, okay, well, you know, Jesus saves you from your sins. Like you're set free from like all of your past. So he's like grace upon grace. Like everything's good. You're made new again. He died for you. He rose again. That's God as our savior. That's Jesus in flesh, like Jesus that walked on the earth and lived this sinless life, loved on people, healed people. Then he died on the cross and then he rose again and he saved everybody from everything. And like, that is like what you get to tell somebody, you know, as you're going through this study and you get to like dig into this a little bit deeper. And then at the same time, for all of us that maybe have been walking with Jesus for a few years now or maybe decades now, I think there's something to this too. Like, I think God as our savior who saved you, I think there's a chance it's grown a little like normal at this point. You know, it's lost its power maybe lost its spark. Like, wait, what? Like, you know, it's not every day that I think about my testimony. I don't every day think about like 16-year-old me that was like obsessed with what people thought of them and like chained to relationships and people in my life. Like, I don't think about that on an everyday basis. But when I am reminded of it, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Like, I still do struggle with that, but like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, I'm saved. Like, God paved the way for me to experience like freedom, and I don't have to live like that anymore. So I guess what I'm saying is my hope for this little segment of the podcast is that it just gets you excited again about God as your savior, and it reminds you of what you really did come from and then the freedom that he offers you every day. In the Bible study this week, we actually looked at John 3:16, which is a verse that so many Christians probably have memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And honestly, as I was just saying that out loud, I was like, oh my gosh, am I really saying this out loud? I don't know if I know it, but there you go.
I knew it. Probably one of the few verses that I can recite just off the bat like that, that what we looked at in this study was everything around John 3:16, you know, what the actual context of this verse was, who he was talking to, what the conversation was like, and in hopes ultimately to understand why God sent his son to die for us and to save the world. And I think you're going to get so much out of it, you guys. You're going to just have a way deeper understanding of what this really means for you. So get the study to learn more about that. But the question I want to ask you right now here and that you can stew on throughout the rest of the week is, what can it look like for you to live like you've been saved? What can it look like for you to live like you've been saved? Like, what is going to look different? How are you going to feel different? What in your life might need to change on a daily basis to live like you are actually saved? Mm-hmm. And to answer this question, I kind of wanted to go back and talk about kind of our stories, Mac, and what we were saved from, and a little testimony time to lead the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I love thinking about our title, Face to Face. For me, I grew up as pastor's kid. I was literally at church anytime the doors were open. We had no choice. We were just there. And some people grow to resent that. I loved it. I loved being a PK. It was awesome. And I remember, I think my earliest memories of like really it clicking for me was probably maybe in middle school. I think on our sixth grade retreat, we did this thing in my youth group where they like invited us to picture God and to imagine that God was like there with us. And it was like the first time that I really felt his presence there with me. And it was awesome. And it was amazing. It was this face-to-face moment where I was just like, wow, Jesus is so good. And he wants to be in a relationship with me. And then I think for me, though, mostly through high school and middle school and high school, it was a lot of like, I did all the right things because I just knew I was supposed to. Like, I was the pastor's kid. I was the goody-goody, all these things. And there were moments definitely where like I would experience and encounter Jesus, but like they were kind of few and far in between. And I don't think I really understood it or I really got it fully maybe until college. I think for me, this moment that we're talking about where like I finally understood what it looked like and what it meant to be saved happened for me in college. And it really happened from kind of the the crashing of my dreams, I would say.
This is good. This is good. I'll never forget this moment in college. We're friends, guys.
I know. I feel like I've shared it a million different ways, but I think like
it's been a long time.
It's been a while. Yeah. But I had this big dream of being a country music singer, songwriter. That's why I chose to go to Belmont, the school that Kenz and I met at. So I moved to Nashville. My whole world was built around this. Like, it was who I was down to my core. It's how I spent all my time. It was my dreams. It was all this thing. It was this the biggest piece of me. And Jesus was kind of like woven into that. But like, music definitely came before Jesus in my life. And my sophomore year of college, I just was really beginning to understand what it looked like to be in relationship with Christ. And I realized that, like, okay, if I'm saying yes to life with Jesus, then I'm saying yes to like his plans and his will and his way for my life. And so in a moment, I chose this like surrender of like, Jesus, like, I don't want my plan. Like, I actually want your plan. And after that, my dreams kind of came crashing down. Like, some things happened where like it kind of was like really disappointing and really discouraging. But more than anything, I just woke up knowing like that music wasn't what I was supposed to do with my life anymore. And it's so funny because in the moment, I wouldn't say that like Jesus was saving me. You know, he wasn't like saving me from, or I couldn't pinpoint it as that. But I look at it now and I'm like, that was literally a moment of him rescuing me from this life of putting my identity in the wrong thing. This life of like constantly trying to prove that I was worthy through success and that I was worthy through art and I was worthy through being good at something. And that is what music had been for me all those years, was like people told me I was good at it and I loved the attention. I loved the affirmation that I got from that. So I was just constantly chasing the next high of, can I write another song that people think are amazing and is so good? Can I play another show where 50 million people come up to me afterwards and tell me I'm so talented? Like, I was just chasing those highs. And in that moment where Jesus kind of changed my desires, I now see it as this rescuing moment where like he saved me from a lifetime of chasing one high after the other, of putting my full identity in my talents and my gifts and not in who he said that I was. And that moment left me freer than I had ever been. I had no plans, like literally no life plan. I was paying way too much money to go to this school for music, but I just had more peace than I could ever explain and more trust in that moment. And it was really beautiful and a really cool moment that I got to live in the aftermath of that, where nothing made sense really to anybody around me, but it made sense between Jesus and I, because I knew that his way was so much better. And now since then, have there been moments where I've tried to chase that high again? Yes. But what I will say is now I always have this taste of knowing that like those moments where it's just me and Jesus, he's looking at me and he's saying like, without all this stuff, like you are enough and I love this version of you. Those are the moments that I cling to in the moments where I try to chase the high again, because I don't chase the music high anymore, but there are other highs that I'll try to chase to like get affirmation. And so, yeah, that was kind of my moment. And for me too, I didn't mention this, but it all happened in the parking garage behind my dorm room, where I just had this moment with Jesus that was like so hard and so difficult. And I cried so much, but I felt him there with me. And it was so beautiful. And I think that was like my full surrender moment of, okay, Jesus, it's me and you. I'm in. Like, I say yes to your way and your plan. And I want you as my savior fully. And so,
yeah. I'll never forget. It was Passion Conference, right? Francis Chan, was it?
Yeah.
Who was speaking, and his prayer, he said, like, I dare you to pray. What was it? I dare you to pray. Like,
he talked about how, like, he said, he ran into this guy who told him, man, you look so good. And he said,
that's right.
he said afterwards, he was like, oh, I don't want people to look at me and be like, wow, Fran looks so rested and healthy. He was like, I want people to look at me like I just got off the battlefield for Christ. And I was like, me too. And so I prayed. I was like, God, don't give me the easy. Like, give me the battlefield for you. And I didn't know what I was praying, but yeah.
Yeah. And that's really like not that this is irrelevant, truthfully, but that is after that is when like really Delight, the ministry we started, like started like really growing and taking off or whatever. God doesn't have to like bless you once you surrender, but it's really cool to see that how he moves through your life in like these like totally different, unexpected ways when you do surrender one thing and you open your heart to another. Like Mac would have never thought she was going to do like what her dad kind of does, you know, with her career and her life. But here she is like just saying one crazy wild prayer and then like surrendering that. And I think you were like, I don't know that he like saved me. And then you interchanged it to the word rescued. Mm-hmm. You know, I think those are both the same, you know, and then and he did. He saved you. He saved you from like, what is the word? Narcissistic, like this like self-consuming, like crazy life. Like I know a lot of musicians that don't know Jesus and are like so self-obsessed and it's like so sad and so dark. And like, that's like, that is relevant. And like God like swooped in and saved you from that or what could have been. And it's just so cool. And even to this day, like we're going to talk about this in a second, but like what living as you're saved look like ultimately, like, you know, means that you do experience like so much freedom, like the freedom that God gave you. And I look at your life now and I'm like, dang, wait, Mac actually is living in that. It's so cool. So,
All right. Give us your story, your testimony.
I mean, okay. For me, I feel like it was like when I was about 16 was the big pivot for me. I was in high school and I was truly just like obsessed with what people thought of me and certainly like enslaved to their opinions. I remember just spending like hours on end getting ready. I know every girl does, but I did it in a way that I was probably unhealthy.
Yeah.
And I also remember like laying awake at night, like embarrassed of things that I did or things that I said and like just like so tied up in like conversations I had and like shame and guilt and feeling bad and feeling good. And it even led me to like, I struggled like showing up to things because I was afraid that I would have like no one to talk to or, you know, what I was afraid of what people would think of me. And I for a while, I just accepted that that was just the way life was. I was like, gosh, teenage years are hard. Teenage years are brutal. Yeah. And they are, but it didn't have to be that way. And I'll never forget, a friend invited me to church and I feel like for the first time I witnessed someone who like lived into this like freedom they had been given in Christ. And, you know, I could just tell like something was different. And it was like a little worship. I think it was just like the beginning worship of church. I've just noticed this girl who was praying and worshiping, but it wasn't even in like a crazy way. It wasn't like she was like bouncing around, running around or anything like that. She was just simply like sitting with her hands. They're folded under her chin. And she was just in this like sweet moment of worship. And you could tell she wasn't like caring at all what people thought of her or what she was doing. And she just carried like no like weight of the world and was locked in on Jesus. And for me, like seeing something like that, like a freedom in worship was like so foreign to me. And I remember leaving that space being like, oh my gosh, I want to be able to like worship like that. Like I want to like not care what other people think. I want to just experience this like freedom in Jesus. And, you know, it was like months of going back to church and learning to like connect with God and learning to, you know, experience his presence and get to know him better, like we're talking about in this study. But eventually, like I felt like the chains of the world or the things and thoughts of others that I was so wrapped up in just began to not matter as much anymore as I got to know Jesus more. And even my mom, like to this day, it's so funny. She's like, she has like a different perspective, you know, as moms do. But she was like, at the beginning of high school, I was like so shy and like barely would talk to people and whatever, like I was saying before a little bit. And then towards the end of high school, after experiencing the presence of God, I was like so much more bold and like wild and crazy, like I am now. And my mom like always points it out. She's like, you were just, I can't even believe it. You were just so shy. You were just like so to yourself. And like she loves to like talk about that. I should probably highlight it more, be like, Mom, that was God.
But and like, I kinda, that is the saving power of Jesus.
Mom, do you know Jesus? She does.
Yeah.
But I just felt like things are so different for me from then on out. And, you know, even to this day, I do have the habit sometimes of like caring too much and like getting so wrapped up in like other people's opinion and like people pleasing and all of that. It's like definitely my flaw in the way that like I feel like the enemy likes to like grab hold of me. But I feel like I live into like the actual like this saving grace or experiencing God as my savior and the freedom that comes when I really detach myself from like that and the opinions of the world and just like the opinion of God. And so,
yeah,
that's kind of what changed for me.
It's cool that in both of our stories, we talk about this moment of rescue, the moment of saving, and how God clearly saved us from something and made us somebody new. Yet at the same time, and I think this is so relatable for anybody listening, the thing that he saved us from is often still the thing that tempts us the most. Like that we somewhere, somehow down the line in our faith journey, we start trying to like save ourselves from that in a way. Like for me, it's like, this I love to be seen as like successful and talented and good at something. And like when I am not getting face to face with Jesus, that's what my heart starts craving. And that's what I start wanting. That's what I start looking to for significance. For Ken's, like in moments where she's not getting face to face with Jesus and like knowing Jesus as her savior, her heart starts craving like the just people to like her and people to want to be around her and people to call her their friend. I always say, and Ken's will tell you, in moments of her like moments of like weakness for her, she starts counting her friends on her fingers.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's to true. Be like, do I have friends? Do people like me? Which is so cute and hilarious, honestly, to me. I've never done that before. I'm like, people love me. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Not true. But I think that the truth is that like there's this moment where Jesus saves us and we experience him as savior. And then as we go about our Christian walk, we forget about it. We forget that Jesus didn't just save us on that day and then we don't need to know him as savior anymore. No, he is in this ongoing work of saving us from that thing day after day after day. But the way that we live saved is not by like understanding it more and knowing it more. The way that we like live in this freedom is we stay connected to our savior. Like we stay face to face with him. We stay so close to him. We remember who we were and we remember who he's inviting us to be. And the only way to remember that is to stay close to him and to continue to go to him and to continue to bring these temptations and to bring your sin and to bring your junk to his feet and allow him to be the one to rescue you from it. And I just need that reminder constantly because I start, instead of going to him, I just start using my Christian methods. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, I've been a Christian for so long. I know how to resist this temptation. All you have to do is read your Bible for an hour a day. And honestly, that doesn't work because I can read my Bible for an hour a day without actually going to Jesus and letting him be my savior and inviting him and allowing him to save me from that thing. And so, I don't know. I think that's just what convicted me about we want to skip past like knowing God as savior. It's like, oh yeah, check, done that. But I think there's so much there that really challenges me and convicts me and calls me into deeper relationship with him.
Yeah, exactly. There's a verse that some of us have probably heard. It's 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest upon me. And I think there's something to this verse. Like, I feel like if we want to continuously be in relationship with our Savior and remember, like, what he saved us from, we have to be willing to boast in our weaknesses and just be like, gosh, like, this is what I came from. This is what I'm struggling with right now. Like, God saved me, like, save me from this. And, you know, gosh, God, like, this is what I'm going through. And this has been really hard for me right now. This is my weakness. And it says that when we say this, when we boast in our weaknesses, that Christ's power, his saving grace will come upon us. And I want more of that. I want to be in relationship with my Savior. I don't just want to be in relationship with God as my Lord and these other things we're going to talk about, because if we did it, there's something about this one that, like, really humbles me before him of, like, wait, I really need you. Like, I screw up all the time. Like, I'm so weak. I'm not self-sufficient. Like, I need you. And I think it's really this humbling and freeing thing of, like, you know, in my shoes, I'm like, the second I get wrapped up in people's opinion and obsess over what people think of me, or when I'm like anxious about relationships in my life, or I start counting my friends, I'm like, okay, like, no, I don't need to do this. Like, I was saved from this. And, like, when I recognize that, and I'm not good at this, like, I need to do this, like, ASAP. But when I recognize that immediately, I mean, literally, like, the snap of your fingers, you're going to have access to this, like, freedom. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you could literally picture me running around my house, like, not caring, like, woo, yay. That's the best part of it. That's the joy. That's the peace that comes in living a life next to Christ and with Christ. And that's freedom. And that's exciting. Like, for Mac, when she's like, oh, wait, I don't have to perform. Oh, wait, I don't have to be good at anything. Like, I don't have to try so hard in this area of my life. Like, by the snap of fingers, it's like freedom, you know, a release of pressure and, like, a release of trying so hard, and peace and rest, you know, like the scripture says, its power will rest upon us. And that's just, like, so cool. And we can't forget this. Like, we can't just be like, oh, that's old news. Like, God saved me back in 2010. Like, oh, that's great. Like, no, he's saving you every day. The original question that I asked was, what can it look like for you to live, or what can it look like for you to live like you've been saved? And I really want you to think about that. Like, really, what is going to look different from here on out? Not just, like, the month after you were saved at church camp, or the week after you met God. How can you bring that same experience into your everyday life, right?
Yeah. So. It's so good. It's so good. I love it. And I just think that, I think it's like, this is the invitation. Get face to face with your Savior this week, with Jesus, and call on him as your Savior and ask him questions. God, what are you saving me from right now? What are you rescuing me from right now that I'm not even noticing? God, take me back to when you first saved me. Like, remind me what that was like. Give me that same dependence upon you again. I think we can get really intimate with him through knowing him and relating to him as Savior. And so we just challenge you to do that this week, whether you just, like, turn off this podcast and you try to do it wherever you are, in your car, in your room, or maybe you grab the face-to-face study and really start to dig into the word and process through that with him in that way. No matter what, like, our challenge to you is just to do that and to not miss out on knowing God as Savior, not just the one time, but the continuous day after day, knowing and experiencing God as your Savior every single day. And so we hope this encouraged you. And I'm really excited about all the conversations that we have to come. As you can tell, we're a little bit fired up and passionate about it all. So I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be fun.
I do too. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, catch us next week every other week for another episode of For the Girl, and walk through this study with us. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.